Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint. Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Man, I'll tell you what, Montana is so excited to welcome Gordon G. Chang to Big Sky Country, to the Treasure State here coming up Friday, June 6th. He'll be speaking in Columbus. Saturday, June 7th, he'll be in Miles City with the Patriot Roundtable there. Gordon G. Chang, you can find him on X at Gordon G. Chang. He's with the Gatestone Institute. He's also the author of Plan Red, China's Project to Destroy America. Mr. Chang, what an honor to have you on the show this morning. Can't wait to see you here in Montana.
Well, it's an honor for me to be on your show and to eventually be in Montana next month. So we're really looking forward to that.
Well, yeah, I'm sure Montana's been on your radar because, hey, the China spy balloon, this is where it first broke as a public news story, and then the communist Chinese have been spying on our nuclear missile bases and more.
Yes, and you've got to remember, that balloon actually traveled over America's nuclear weapons sites. So you have Nellstrom Air Force Base, which is in Montana. There was F.E. Warren in Wyoming and Minot in North Dakota, as well as that balloon passed near Omaha, Nebraska, which is Offutt Air Force Base, where U.S. Strategic Command has its headquarters that controls all of U.S. nuclear weapons. And it flew by Whiteman Air Force Base in Missouri, where the home to all of our B-2 strategic bombers. So this balloon was going over our nuke sites, which means that China is preparing a strike on those sites.
Well, and big surprise there. It's also been documented that they have simulated American aircraft carriers in the desert that they're using for target practice. What is China's project to destroy America, or China's plan to try and destroy America, with about a minute or so to go before we go to our first break here?
Well, the most important thing is that Beijing believes it is in an existential struggle with the U.S. and must destroy our country if it is to survive. So this is a zero-sum fight. We can't cooperate with China as much as we'd like to, as long as it's ruled by the Communist Party, which means we have to recognize the fundamental challenge to our society.
And why does this matter to Montana in particular? I mean, even putting the United States of America aside for just a moment, Montana in particular.
Well, because of Nellstrom Air Force Base, which is in your state, which will be a target. So Montanans will be a target of a Chinese nuclear weapons strike.
Well, so much looking forward to having you here in Montana. What's going to be the focus of your speech?
I'll be talking about what we just discussed, the nature of China's challenge, talk a little bit about China's overall goals to rule the world, not control it or dominate it, but to rule the world. And we'll talk about what China's been doing to undermine the U.S. and to take us down, including
All
criminal
right.
debt.
Hold that thought. I also want to get his take on the weakened power, or hopefully the weakened power, of the communist Chinese leader Xi Jinping. We'll start there right after this quick break.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
So Axios Media, which is a left-leaning news publication, they basically said that, here's the headline. Hard data suggests that tariff-driven inflation and recession fears may be overblown. Oh, you don't say. Meanwhile, though, back in China, this whole tariff fight and this tariff war, whatever you want to call it, as I understand it, has really significantly weakened communist Chinese leader Xi Jinping. Gordon Chang, your thoughts?
Yes, it certainly has. Even before President Trump took his second oath of office, the Chinese export sector was ailing because it didn't have enough orders, and we saw factories which were running at very low capacity. Of course, the tariff war has exacerbated that, where we see factories closing, workers are on the streets, they haven't gotten paid. And also, there are hints that with personal loans, the smaller loans now going bust, smaller financial institutions don't have the liquidity to pay back their depositors. So Chinese depositors are now on the streets as well. So this is a very dangerous situation. With the 90-day pause on the tariff war, that's certainly going to help, because this is Christmas season for Chinese factories, and so they will have relief at a very important time.
This is when they build all the, I just want to say, all the junk that people are going to start buying about 6 months from now or so, basically, 5-6 months from now.
That's right, because you got to remember that it takes a long lead time for manufacture and then to ship into the United States. So essentially, June is the beginning of the Christmas season.
So, Montanans, we're in this interesting situation to where, okay, we understand the threat, at least our listeners do. We understand the threat of the Communist Chinese. We knew exactly what they were doing with that spy balloon, even as the media and the Biden regime was downplaying the threat. But simultaneously, we also want access to the Chinese market for our beef, which President Trump first got open in his first term, along with Montana Senator Steve Daines. And we want access for our grain markets as well. So we're kind of caught in the middle when it comes to understanding the threat, but also needing the opportunity.
Yes. One of the things about Xi Jinping, there are two factors. One of them is he is stockpiling grain and other commodities because it looks like he wants to go to war. But also, he does not want to be dependent on foreign sources. So really what the problem for China is going to be, for people looking at the China market, is that Xi Jinping doesn't want foreign products, and he certainly doesn't want American ones in general. And this has nothing to do with the tariff situation. So it's going to be difficult for people in Montana selling beef or grain or whatever to the Chinese.
He might do it temporarily just to, you know, as a political maneuver, but then eventually he'll figure out a way to dump their products on the market to undercut us and push us out at some point.
Well, yeah, they don't make, they don't grow that much, and their food self-sufficiency has been declining. So they will need to continue to buy foreign food for at least a little while. But China is stockpiling a lot, which means that at some point they will not be purchasing abroad.
So it sounds like you really think, because of Xi Jinping's weakened position, that might force him to eventually break out a war situation, kind of like, you know, Vladimir Putin. His polls were sinking with the Russian people, so he wanted to then lash out and basically start a war to try to gain domestic sympathy. How do we, as the United States of America, press for reform, press this fight against the Chinese, while not pressing so hard that it leads to an all-out war? Or is, what's your thoughts?
Yeah, we only have limited influence on what happens inside the Chinese regime. So I don't believe that we should be trying to play politics. But a couple things are evident. One of them is that we know the Chinese people don't want war. So it's possible Xi Jinping would try to rally the Chinese with a war, but I think that Xi believes ultimately that this is not going to be something that is going to be good for his support among the Chinese populace. I do believe, though, that he believes a war is in his interest, because it will prevent other senior Communist Party figures from challenging or deposing him. And this is what his hero Mao Zedong did in terms of the Cultural Revolution, where Mao started the Cultural Revolution because he knew that by mobilizing the Chinese people, it would prevent other Communist Party figures from taking him down, because his position was increasingly fragile before 1966, when he started the Cultural Revolution. So I think it's more elite politics play than anything else. But whatever it is war, and that means we have to prepare for it, we have to defend our friends and allies, and we have to defend ourselves, because the Chinese are coming for us.
Very interesting. Well, Gordon G. Chang, he will be here in Montana June 6th in Columbus, June 7th at Miles City Livestock with the Patriots Roundtable there. I've got a full story on our Montana Talks website with the flyers and the details and more. Mr. Chang, about 30 seconds to go. What do Montanans need to hear? What do they need to know?
The most important thing is that it's not about us. It's about China, and the problems inside the Chinese regime means that they will, one way or another, reach out and try to hurt us. So it's going to be important for us to defend ourselves. This is not about us, not about our policy, not about what we say or do, but it's about what's going on in China, and we don't have any influence over that.
Well, great to chat with you. What an honor. Whenever I see Gordon Chang on TV, I make sure that I watch what he has to say and I hear what he has to say. Mr. Chang, thanks for being with us here on Montana Talks.
Well, it's an honor for me, so thank you, Aaron.
Appreciate it. Appreciate it. And I know there's Patriots across Montana looking forward to seeing you in person and hearing you in person very soon. Full story at MontanaTalks.com. I'm going to re-up it to the top of the page right now so that if you go there, you can see the flyers. So give me just a second.
Securing America.
A recent House Appropriations Subcommittee hearing examined the current state of the Navy and Marines. New Navy Secretary John Phelan testified the Navy remains the dominant maritime force in the world.
But that dominance is under threat. China continues to expand its fleet, build more advanced submarines, and operate more provocatively and aggressively in contested waters.
California Republican Ken Calvert added that
China is on pace to surpass the United States Navy in firepower in the coming years.
Secretary Phelan says the U.S. needs to act.
Rebuilding our hollowed-out maritime industrial base is a national security imperative.
Acting Chief of Naval Operations Admiral James Kilby acknowledged the challenges, but said one thing remains absolute.
We remain committed to a strong global Navy, one that is prepared to defend our homeland, deter our adversaries, and prevail in war.
Kevin Lutzke, Fox News.
Did you?
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, Gordon Chang had to run off to his next engagement. So I know many of you, you're like, man, I want to hear more from Gordon Chang. Well, go to MontanaTalks.com right now, and you can see the information for how you can get a ticket to the event in Columbus June 6th and the event in Miles City on June 7th. But, right now, though, we've got the phone lines open for you. What's your thoughts on what Gordon Chang had to say? Or if you got something else you want to talk about, give us a ring right now, 406-294-0970. Or you can message us on the Montana Talks app as well. Initially, we were going to have Congressman Troy Downing join us right now on the program, but apparently the D.C. schedule got crazy. What that means is we've now got phone lines open for you. And then coming up in just a few minutes, Rick Holden, former state senator out of Glendive. You know, we mentioned earlier this week how a large group of folks in eastern Montana have been getting together to try to stop or at least limit the impacts from these mega wind turbine developments in eastern Montana. He says currently we have three companies working to get hundreds of wind turbines built in Dawson County and across an 8-county region. They had a big meeting earlier this week. We talked about this earlier in the week, but we're going to catch up with Rick Holden here in the second half of the show in just a few minutes. Jim in Belgrade, what do you think about what Gordon Chang just had to say, and what's your thoughts on China trade? Thanks for calling in.
Well, I thought he was a good guest to have there. Yeah, he's got some good information, obviously, and I guess the main comment I'd like to make is just that it seems to me like, you know, the real solution to this whole China thing is that we need to cut off our trade with China, basically, because they are not our allies; they're our enemy. You know, they're after us at every turn, basically, and they're doing all they can to destroy us, and yet we continue to carry on commerce with them, which benefits them and us. But it's a marriage made in hell, not heaven.
Well, that's like, you know, when this tariff trade war, whatever you want to call it, kicked off here just a few months ago, I had an interesting conversation with our friend David Noble, and he was saying, look, this is not the same as the Cold War with the Soviet Union, where okay, because basically the whole tariff situation, the trade mess that we are in as a country right now, it's a totally different ballgame now than when it was in the post-World War II environment, was what David and I had talked about. Because in the post-World War II environment, we had all the industry. We had all the industrial base. Europe did not. Europe was in tatters. And so and then on top of that, we wanted to go build friends all over the world to compete against the Soviet Union. Well, now we're in a different environment in the sense that okay, now the rest of the world has the industry. So when we have unfair trade deals, we've now come to a point where that's destroyed our industrial base here in America. And then on top of that, when it comes to China, well, look, by us sending all of our money to the communist Chinese, we are funding their expansion. We are funding their military expansion. The reason they have their Belt and Road Initiative, where they are expanding all over the world, is because they're doing it with our money, right?
Right. And I think some of our past senators and representatives have done Montanans a big disservice by promoting trade with China for so many years and making it such a paramount thing and not pursuing trade with other countries, basically. So I think we've got that to live with and that to fix right now, unfortunately.
All right, Jim, great to hear from you. Appreciate the phone call. 406-294-0970 is the number for you. I also think that this ties in with our green energy, so-called green energy conversation that we're going to have in just a few minutes with Rick Holder, talking about wind power in eastern Montana, solar power. So basically, when they put in these large solar farms, so basically we're taking farmland out of production to put in a solar farm with a bunch of solar panels that are coming from China. And then China's buying up our farmland near our military bases all over the country. So literally we have been undermining American energy to subsidize Chinese built energy. Makes no sense whatsoever. No sense whatsoever. Ron and Big Fork next up on the phone lines. Ron wants to weigh in on what he says is stupid stuff from the city of Kalispell. What is the stupid stuff from the city of Kalispell, Ron? Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, there was an article in a paper maybe a week or so ago. A little over 20 years ago, I remember Main Street in Kalispell was torn up. It was an absolute nightmare. Holes dug, the pavement ripped up. It was a real exercise in futility just trying to get through. So they finally finished it. Traffic flows pretty good through Kalispell. Some genius up in Kalispell decided, I think we ought to narrow the road down to two lanes instead of three. So what are we going to have? We're going to have 80-year-old mouth breathers like me driving their fifth-wheelers through the center of Kalispell, break down, have a crash. Now you're down to one lane. UPS trucks and all these other delivery places, they have to stop, and they shut a lane down. What's going to happen when we get a big snowstorm? It's going to be a nightmare. And in summer, the traffic, I just can't believe. Who would come up with an idea of narrowing a highway with the growth in this county?
It always drives me nuts. It's the, you know, especially like Missoula is the king of this. Hey, our roads are too congested. Hey, more people are flooding into our county. Ooh, let's make the roads smaller. Let's make fewer lanes of traffic. And, oh, let's put in like a 15-foot-wide bike path. And even in Missoula, there aren't that many bikes on the bike path. And then they make congestion worse. And then, oh, there's more carbon emissions because people are sitting in traffic longer. It makes no sense whatsoever. Even in Billings, they just built this bypass to go from the Billings Heights around towards the west end of Zimmerman Trail. And it's only, it's one lane in each direction. And it's like, why didn't you build more room there? And then they have the speed limit so low that the thing is congested, and it's not even much of a bypass during parts of the day because the traffic moves so slow. And then in Bozeman, they're wondering why there's so much road rage. Well, the speed limit is so low that you have so much congestion now. If you allowed people to get through, and if the slower traffic stayed in the right lane, you got me fired up now, Ron. No, that's all right. Yeah.
You know, you need no. If you want to be an airline pilot, you got to meet certain tests. To be a politician, there's no tests. You can get a guy that failed simple math in eighth grade, and he can become the president of the United States. Politicians, there's no requirements.
Well, speaking of politicians getting tests and there being no tests, did you hear how the Biden White House, the White House staff, was going to give him a cognitive test, but without him knowing about it? They were going to secretly give Biden a cognitive test, but then they decided against it because they thought it might blow up in their face. Oh, man, that is bad.
I don't know. Yeah, well, we're going to be living in caves in 20 years anyway, so maybe it doesn't matter.
Hey, Ron, while I got you, Supreme Court election, I know, totally random topic altogether. Montana Supreme Court, we've got a big election next year. Judge Dan Wilson out of Kalispell announced he's going to be running again, and I know freedom fighters see that as very good news. But apparently, the far-left Democrat Party mega donors have found their candidate. Her name is Amy Eddy. I think you're very familiar.
No.
You're very familiar with her, aren't you?
She's got to be the worst judge in Kalispell. The cities in this country, they're letting people go. Amy Eddy gives everybody a suspended sentence. We had a case here a few weeks ago. A guy in a road rage incident pulled up alongside a mother with a 10-year-old son, and he pointed a 10-millimeter Glock at her. He didn't go to jail. Got a slap on the wrist. I mean, it's getting out of control.
She's a soft-on-crime, Soros-style judge, and that's who the Democrats are going to run for Montana Supreme Court, is this Amy Eddy.
Amy Eddy is bad news. There's no way we got to keep her out.
Well, interesting, yeah, because I haven't followed her record too closely, but I know you're an attorney, if I remember from some of your past phone calls. So, Ron, thanks for being the early warning here, kind of like Gordon Chang giving the early warning on the Communist Chinese, Ron and Big Four giving the early warning on the leftist Montana Supreme Court candidate. All right, speaking of Kalispell, let's go to Wade in Kalispell. Wade, what's on your mind?
I just wanted to talk about school bonds and if people are aware of how they work. Like, if they pass a school bond today and you live in a housing tract with 10 people, but if it's at 100, then say next year they build all those 90 more houses, they just keep that money. They don't, it doesn't go toward the bond. It goes to the general fund. So, I mean, don't you think that's some sort of fraud?
So doesn't the SB, does the SB 117 that Senator Zolnikoff got across the finish line, does that help where any new development, they have to dedicate that to the existing property tax base, or am I talking two different things altogether?
Yeah, I'm not sure if that applies to it, but I do know that, and I talked to the superintendent of schools, you know, I've known about this for a couple of years, I just didn't know really what to do about it. What brought to my attention is Columbia Falls paid off a school loan a few years ago, and the city was freaking out about how are they going to pay, you know, for bus maintenance and that sort of stuff. And it didn't make any sense because it was a school bond, so it was just a loan.
So if it was already paid,
that's not really how it works.
If it was already paid off, why are they freaking out? Yeah, interesting. All right. Well, maybe one of our listeners has a good answer to that. Wade, thanks for the phone call. We've got Rick Holden on the phone lines, former state senator out of Glendive, talking about these wind power developments in eastern Montana. He'll be up right after this.
This is where Montana talks at with Lane Nordlund.
For the first time ever, the United States had a youth team compete in the Zoetis World Angus Youth Competition that was held in conjunction with the World Angus Forum in Australia. And one of the young Angus leaders that participated in the youth competition and one of the four contestants from the United States on Team USA was Claire Stevenson of Stevenson Angus here in Montana. She shared with me more about the competition.
The World Angus Forum Youth Contest consists of multiple different events, everything from livestock judging to fitting, showing. We just got done with a debate where we were in the finals, luckily, and we have a variety of other little modules that we've been a part of, such as bush mechanics.
Stevenson and Team USA walked away as the grand champion team of the World Angus Youth Competition, and she left us with these thoughts.
It's been incredible to get to meet all these different people from around the world and make these new connections and meet young producers that we may someday be doing business with in the future across the world.
Claire is the daughter of Daryl and Sarah Stevenson of Stevenson Angus and currently pursuing her graduate degree from the University of Georgia. Again, Team USA, the grand champion team for the World Angus Forum Youth Competition. I'm Lane Nordblom.
Montana Talks, where you get the mic. Call in now at 406-294-0970. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Oh, man, am I excited for Monday. I know some of you guys are like, what? Yeah, I'm excited for Friday. I'm excited for the weekend. But now I am also excited for Monday as well. It's easy to be excited about a Friday and about a weekend. Monday, this is very cool. I just checked my email inbox here. You guys know Scott Jennings on CNN? Scott Jennings. I actually sat down and watched CNN for like 20, 30 minutes. I see all the great highlights. I see the highlight reel of whenever Scott Jennings is on CNN. He used to work for, I think, George W. Bush back in the day, but he's also pro-Trump, and he's like the lone common sense guy on CNN. It's like, it's kind of like the Missoula City Council. Like, you have like one or two people that have common sense, and then the rest, you're like, what is wrong with these people? That's Scott Jennings when he's on CNN. And I watched it, and I was like, man, Scott Jennings has to deal with some of the dumbest people in America every day. How does he do it? But he's so great at what he does. Scott Jennings is going to join us, I think, on Monday's Montana Talk. So we had Gordon Chang today, Scott Jennings Monday. That's why I'm excited for Monday. Let's see, but today, let's start with today. Just saw something else. I see, you know, we're taking you to Glendive right now on KXGN. Yeah, we're taking you to Glendive, but what did I just see here? I got to go back in my email. Give me just a second here. All right, here we go. Yeah, so as we're talking about, you know, Eastern Montana, and our next guest is joining us from Glendive, Montana, I see Governor Greg Gianforte is in Glendive right now as we speak. Looks like he's headed over to Big Sky Butcher. He's going to be doing a tour of Big Sky Butcher. And then he's meeting with our friends in Terry, Montana, meeting with some Prairie County small business owners. Hopefully he'll get a chance to see my cousin Paul while he's there, living in Terry. So, yeah, and then he's off to the world-famous Miles City Bucking Horse Sale. It's Bucking Horse Weekend. If you guys are going to be at Bucking Horse, by the way, go see Ken Weinheimer. Go see our friend Ken Weinheimer. Last night, I went to this great fundraiser for the Boy Scouts of America in Billings out at the Swift River Ranch, and Ken Weinheimer, for the first time last night, unveiled their new Tatanka cigar tent. It's almost like its own yurt. This thing's incredible. On my Facebook page, facebook.com/Flint Report, I just shared a photo with Ken Weinheimer and my good friend, my first platoon sergeant in the Montana National Guard, Dan Kind. So I enjoyed a great Tatanka cigar last night. Tatanka Cigars is going to be at the world-famous Miles City Bucking Horse Sale as well, and I think he's going to have that really cool tent with him too. So check it out and tell Ken Weinheimer we say hello once again. All right, let's jump right into it. Great to have Rick Holden, former state senator out of Glendive, now joining us here on Montana Talks. He also ran for Congress in that Republican congressional primary last year as well. Rick, great to have you back on the show. Thanks for being with us.
You bet, Aaron. Nice to talk to you. Are our signal coming through?
Yeah, it almost sounded a little choppy there for a second, but I'm hearing you. Yeah, isn't it crazy how cell phone coverage, I mean, the billions and billions of dollars that Joe Biden flushed down the toilet, and you still can't get a decent cell phone signal in some places. Isn't it crazy?
Well, here's the thing, Aaron. Big Sky Country is under attack right now from these industrial wind turbine companies. We don't know it. Most of the people across the state don't realize it. But there are wind company representatives working behind the scenes every day right now, buying up wind leases on private property so that they can site these towers. And I'm not talking about the type of towers that you currently see. That's the old generation of tower. The new generation of tower is going to be a 5-megawatt tower, and it's going to set with about a 600-foot reach. So that means each one of these new towers that they're going to put up are going to be the size, roughly, of the Seattle Space Needle all across Montana. And Dauphin County alone has 3 companies in here trying to lease up land and get this project underway, and they hope to have one of them going by spring of next year. And actually, our radio broadcast right now that you and I are on is in jeopardy because Hillstone Energy is planning to put 70 of these 575-foot towers on the hills above Glendive. They want to come down the interstate 20 miles on the north side, and the radio signal coming out of Billings going into AM 1400 KXGN in Glendive is going to be scrambled because these towers are so large that the radio signal can't possibly get through these wind turbine blades that are made out of fiberglass.
Wow. So I'll have to check in with the Sterlogsons on that one because, yeah, they run some great radio stations. In fact, I ran into a friend here in Billings, and he said he'll listen to Montana Talks not on the Billings radio station. He listens to it through the app on KXGN because he likes the music, he likes their lineup, and then he gets Montana Talks as well in our statewide show. So that's fun.
So, radio signal is a solid signal, and you can't send it through wind turbine blades, and that's just the thing. But it's not just Dauphin County. People have to understand that the view shed is going to be shot in this state once this thing gets put together. We're talking about counties like Treasure, Rosebud, Custer, Garfield, Macomb, Prairie, Dawson, Weibo, Richland County. All these counties are going to be tied together, and essentially what you're looking at is no less than 1,000 of these turbines getting built all across Montana. So Big Sky Country, our children won't know what it is. They just will not understand what it's like to stand in Stillwater County and look at the crazy mountains and not have to look through spinning turbine blades.
Yeah, you know, that's the thing about, look, we have all of these power sources at our fingertips here. The radical environmentalists and the Democrats shut down Colstrip 1 and 2. Look, and then now they want to shove these things everywhere and block the view. Look, I understand that there's folks who, you know, maybe they see the money that this could mean for their, you know, their property if some of these things are put on their property and counties, you know. But here's the deal. If the Keystone Pipeline would have been allowed to go through, it would have left millions of dollars in its path, but it also wouldn't have destroyed the view all along the path either.
And we're not just talking about the view, Aaron. A lot of people don't realize that these turbine blades are made out of fiberglass. So they deteriorate after about the 5th year. As they deteriorate, they shed off flakes, shards, and strands of fiberglass that blow out across the land. These chemicals that these blades are made out of have been deemed as hazardous waste by the EPA. They're PFAS type chemicals. That means the short term is they're forever chemicals. You can never get them out of the ground. So as these fiberglass shreds and strands blow out across the countryside, they contaminate your corn crops, your wheat crops, your pasture land. They actually condemn your loads of grain going to the elevator if it's full of this fiberglass garbage.
Yeah, whereas instead we could get Colstrip 1 and 2 up and running once again. They're actually talking about doing that very thing because there is such a demand for power right now because of AI and data centers and more, like the conversation we had earlier this week with the Competitive Enterprise Institute and the Frontier Institute here in Montana. So how did the meeting go the other night? I think it was Wednesday night you had the meeting, the Dawson County Planning Board, because I remember when I was in Glendive for the Gate Show back in February, you know, we had the microphones open where anybody can join us on the show, and opponents of these wind power projects, came and joined us from Terry and Fallon all the way to Weibo speaking out against this stuff. And the backers were offered an opportunity to be on the microphone, and they didn't want to join us apparently. But I know there's opposition to this, big opposition.
Well, there is. I feel it's more than a majority. It's easily super majority of the people in this area do not want this thing. They don't want the city of Glendive to be strobe lighted all night. These towers will be right over the top of Glendive, starting right at the airport, essentially. Air traffic control will be halted. There won't be any radar coming this direction through those turbines. You cannot talk from an airplane to the control tower through these turbines. That signal is scrambled. It goes on and on. And all of these things were brought up. The Yellowstone River is a huge migratory bird avenue for traffic for birds going north and south. These blades are going to be spinning right over top of the Yellowstone River.
They've killed a lot of birds, too. Golden eagles. A lot of birds have been killed by these wind power projects all across the country. Rick Holden, hold that thought. We got to take a quick break here. We'll come back to Rick Holden after this. A couple follow-up questions. Is there an organized effort to try to block these projects? And what can be done to try to stop it? We'll throw it back to Rick Holden right after this.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
You know, speaking of power, there is just such a demand for power. There is just such a demand for energy all across this country that they're almost taking it wherever they can get it right now. Hey, some of you are in that same boat. You just want power. You know, maybe you're at the gym trying to get more muscle mass, and then you get more of those muscle aches after the gym. Well, what if you could get more gain and less pain? What if you could get power plus pain aid, an energizing pain reliever? Well, you can, and right now you can get it and get 15% off from a product that was created by a Marine Corps veteran right here in Big Fork, Montana. Yeah, Power Plus Pain Aid. I've got this little energizing pain reliever in my hands right now as we speak. You can get it in your hands if you go to drinkpowerplus.com. And you can take 15% off your order. Just use this code, FLINT15. Use the code FLINT15 at checkout. Get 15% off your order at drinkpowerplus.com. All right, back to it here with Rick Holden in Glendive. So, Rick, is there an organized, formal effort to oppose these wind power projects in eastern Montana? And what can be done to try to stop it?
Yeah, there is, and there is also, it's important that the people out there know that the county commissioners are the key to all of this. The state legislature took a pass on putting any sort of regulations in for wind turbines. There are no regulations for wind turbines. That's just the way they like it. They want to build them bigger and bigger. The next generation will be the size of the Eiffel Tower. Those have already been developed, and they're getting installed. This thing is going to get bigger. And so the people now need to take it upon themselves. If you've got a piece of paper and a pen, you need to write down this Montana statute. This is the one that gives you the power. It's called 76-2-101. Again, that's 76-2-101 going forward. What that does, it allows a citizen-initiated zoning district to be created, and it only takes 40 acres to start out with. So you get together with your neighbors. If you don't want these wind towers coming in and devaluing your property and causing all of this environmental impacts and visual impacts on your property, you need to get together with your neighbors and put together a citizen-initiated zoning district. And it's very simple to do. You go and talk to your neighbors, and you get together, and you draw out a map. You make a map of, and it tells you in the statutes how to do it. You take the map to the county attorney. You get it approved. You take it, goes to the clerk and recorder. They approve all of the names of the landowners that are in that zone. And then you take that petition to your county commissioners for adoption. And once you get that in place, and what you're going to want is you're going to want a large structure zoning district. And so that is the process that the citizens can take to circumvent the high-paid wind lobbyists and these commissioners that might be hesitant to protect your personal property rights.
So do you guys have like a group? Do you have like a group, like an organized group, a Facebook page, a website, or anything like that that people can join or be a part of to try to, you know, mount an organized effort against this across the state?
Well, it's not a statewide organization. You have to do it within your county. So you need to start with two or three of you come together at the kitchen table and start to make calls to your neighbors. And you're going to find out that this thing is going to grow, and we're doing it here in Dawson County. It's no secret. And we want a tall structure zoning district for parts of our county, and we're going to pursue those avenues just as we are. We have to protect our Big Sky Country for the next generation. This all lands on us right now. We are the generation that's either going to save Montana's viewshed and save Big Sky Country, or we're the generation they're going to look back and say, what were they thinking? What were they thinking when they started plastering thousands of these towers all across our great state?
That's the beauty of eastern Montana, and why they call it Big Sky Country is you can just look out and see that big open sky and the horizon and the prairie, and man, it's just incredible. That's what we love about eastern Montana. Rick Holden, I know we've only got a minute to go here. Can Congress do anything? Can the Trump administration do anything by peeling back some of this green energy BS that Biden was wasting money on?
Well, they can, and they've tried. But that's just temporary, very, very temporary. Trump will be gone in 4 years, as you know, roughly 3 years now. And the wind companies are just waiting for him to leave so that they can continue getting their taxpayer money to help pay for these things to get them installed. And they also get a tremendous tax break. They only pay a 3% tax. And they also, when they're generating power, when they go online, they get tax credits. We're giving them everything they could possibly have, and they still have the gall to go into these county commissioners' offices and ask for tax abatements.
Yeah.
I can't imagine tax commissioner or
the special breaks for wind. I mean, 25 years ago, you could have made the argument, but now there's no reason they need, you know, all these legs up on every other form of power production and subsidies, et cetera. Rick Holden, thanks for joining us. Appreciate your time. Great to have you here on Montana Talks. We're out of time for today, but you heard it coming up on Monday. Scott Jennings, the one and only, man, he's just been crushing it. He's going to be with us, and then we'll have more time to take your phone calls and more with the show where you get to talk. If you